All right. I would like to introduce you to a young man who would like to share with us some of what God did for him last week. I would like to introduce you to a young man by the name of Anton. Anton, come and join me up here, son. That's it. Come on, give him a hand. Make him feel welcome. I want you to grab that mic. And let me just make sure that we've got all the paraphernalia working. You're not used to using that stuff, are you? Okay, let me help you. We're gonna pull it out there, and then I want you to come and stand close to me. Don't worry, I'm not funny or anything like that. I've got two children to prove that, and I've got a third one on the way. So you can stand close to me. That's fine. Good, good. All right, guys. Some of you that have been here before would have noticed that we give people the opportunity to share their testimonies of what God has done for them. Now I'm going to get to you now. I just want to put some spadework in. Why is it important for us to share what God has done for us? Who can help me out? Why is it important? Come on, somebody, just give me an answer. Shoot from the hip.
It builds our faith.
It builds another person's faith. What do you think the chances are that there is more than one person in this church tonight battling with the same problem? It's a 1,000,000,000%. Because, you know what, there's only so many problems and so many people, and we have to share a lot of the issues and a lot of the problems that we've got. Who else can give me you had your hand up. To have a closer relationship with God. Yes, because we're giving Him the glory and we're giving Him the honor. Is there any other reason?
To
glorify God and?
To kick the devil in his teeth.
To kick the devil in his teeth. Well, I like all of them. I like all of them.
It is a proof that God is working.
Bless God. He says it is proof to others that God is real and that He is working in people's lives. And let me just say this to you. We are living in a generation where people need to begin to see with their own two eyes that God is real.
Amen.
Can I tell you why? Because too many people have been worrying about God this and the kingdom that and and then they turn up to be false. Stories surface about what they were involved with in their lives. And people say things like, you know what, Christianity is just for hypocrites.
Yeah.
You know what? God isn't really real. That oak just did it for the money. This oak just did it for the fame. That one just did it for the glory. You know what? God doesn't do it for any of those things. He does it for Himself. He does it for His kingdom. But we need to get people that are bold enough, once again, to come and stand up and say, listen, yeah, if you were doubting, this is what God has done for me. And besides that, the Bible tells us that by the word of our testimony, we will overcome the devil. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, we will overcome the evil one. How many of you know that there is a lot of people in this church tonight that need to overcome the evil one?
Amen.
You see, there's a fallacy in the Christian church that because I am a Christian and the Bible says I am more than a conqueror, I don't have to overcome anything. It is to the Christian that the Word of God says, be sober, be vigilant. Your adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion, looking for someone to devour, whom you must resist, standing firm in the faith. You see, the funny thing is, the Word of God isn't, ultimately it is, but directly. The atheist doesn't read the Word of God. You do and I do. The Muslim doesn't necessarily read the Word of God. You do and I do. There's a whole bunch of other cockalollies out there that don't read the Word of God. You do and I do. Who must resist the devil? And from who will he flee? From you and me. Some people can't get rid of the devil because they don't feel that it's necessary to share what God has done for them. We want to give people the opportunity to share, because you know what? What he doesn't realize is tonight as he shares that testimony, he will receive more power than he had before.
Amen.
To be more than a conqueror through Christ Jesus. Bless God. So Anton, we want to welcome you to this place. I know that you're a little bit stressed, but just calm down to steady panic. It's going to be fine. Are you all right?
Yeah, nobody puts you on the spot, yeah.
No, man, you're not on the spot, you're on the kingdom.
Yes.
Amen. All right, now listen, I want to record what you say. So that means two things. Stand close to the mic and don't talk rubbish, okay? Because we will hold it against you later. No, I'm only joking. All right. Guys, I'm going to share with you just a little bit about Anton. I've known him for quite a while. The first time I met you was probably about 12 years ago, right?
That's right.
Okay. Now, I'm going to share a little bit about how I met him and under what circumstances we met the first time, and then we're going to get to what we were eventually praying about last week. About 12 years ago, I met Anton through his brother, Marius. Some of you would have seen Marius here before. Now, in any case, to make a long story short, there was a lot of demonic workings in their family. I prayed for his brother, Anton's brother, Marius. And an evil spirit was charged up. Somebody else had tried to cast this devil out of him, and the devil didn't want to go, and eventually this thing took over the whole household. And it was quite horrendous, all the stuff that happened there that day. And I got a very panicky phone call from his now sister-in-law that said, "Rion, please come and help us. There's big problems in our house." And I could hear the demon shouting in the background and freaking out and telling everybody that they can't get rid of him and he's in charge and blah, blah. So I knew there was problems in this house. So I got in my car and I went there, and there sat his brother on the chair, and this demon was in full manifestation in him, and he sat there like a king on a throne with his head and his nose all up in the air, and he was challenging everybody, come, where's your God? Where's your God? The devil's cocky. He really is. And he was telling the people that they are weak and they are pathetic and that they will never get rid of him. Is that true?
No.
That's true from Satan's point of view, because he's a liar. But that's not true from the Bible's point of view, because the Bible does say that God has given us victory. Amen. So in any case, I had a bit of a fight with this devil, and eventually it seemed to leave. Only problem was, 20 minutes later it was back. Now, the reason that I knew it was back, let me just clip myself. Can you still remember the moves? Just show us the moves.
You do it better.
Do I do it better? When the demon would manifest, his brother would be sitting on the chair, his nose would be all up in the air, and he would have this strange look in his eyes, and his fingers would be out, and it would be like propellers. You know, they would just be going. And this man couldn't control himself at all. And at that stage, the demon would then begin to challenge and perform and what. So again, I prayed and I cast the thing out, or so I thought. And then again, 15 minutes later, the thing came back. And Anton, maybe you should tell them what happened when the thing left your boot and what happened to you.
I started manifesting. I had the same effect that my brother had. Sitting up in my bed, I was asleep.
This was now about 12 o'clock at night,
yeah,
right?
This is 12 o'clock at night. Coming upright in my bed, and my arms were doing this. I didn't have a clue what was going on.
Were you a bit panicked?
Yes.
How many of you know that was God talking to him in a very straight way, saying to him, "Son, it's time to sort out your life"? Amen. So here's this man sleeping, having a nice dream, and suddenly it gets interrupted because there's this devil. Now, why did it happen that way? Let me just say that, firstly, that's not normal, and that doesn't usually happen. It happened for two reasons. One, because it was God's plan to sort out not just his life, but his brother's life. Not just the brother, but the other brother as well. And secondly, because they are twins. And they have a very strong tie between them. And you know, often it is said that one twin will feel what happens to another twin, etc., etc. And because of the strong link that they have with one another in the spirit world, it was possible for this evil spirit to do that. Eventually I asked his brother, "Listen, young man, what on earth is going on here? What do you feel when the thing, does it feel like it leaves?" He says, "Yeah, it feels like it leaves." I said, "So why does it keep coming back?" He said, "No, I don't know." And then as an afterthought, he says to me, "Maybe I should tell you that I'm one of a twin." And when he said that, I understood. And we prayed and we asked the Lord not to allow that thing to use that link. And then we could cast it out. So the next morning, 6 o'clock, I get a very panicked phone call from Anton. Because now, I don't know, did you actually sleep the rest of the night after all this happened?
No, I didn't.
He didn't sleep.
It feels like it kept on happening to me. Uh-huh. And for one fact, that you don't know why it's happening. You had no idea. You get up in your bed and your wife is also freaking out. She doesn't know what's going on. I mean, your hands are literally doing this. So it was scary. I don't know what to do. Your first thing that you do is you start praying. I did pray, but Rian was on my mind as well, so to phone him.
Okay, anyway. To make a long story short, I told him to come and see me, and we would pray for him. And he came to see me, we prayed together, and we cast a whole bunch of devils out of him. Amen. Yes. God was good to you, wasn't he?
Yes, he was.
Well, bless God. So anyway, he came to see me, and we prayed together, and we cast a whole bunch of devils out of him, and then I wonder, could we tell them about what happened after that? Are you okay with that?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. Okay, good. Now, about a year later, I get this very panicked phone call from the same man. And he started talking over the phone, and then I heard the phone crash somewhere. And then I heard another voice speak out of him. And this thing was screaming and saying, he's mine, I will never let him go, blah, blah, and was long stories, but I knew that there was an evil spirit. And then I heard him saying, Rian, please, I need help, please. And then the demon would speak again, and it was all weird. And eventually, why did the telephone go through the air?
Because every time I would speak to Rian, he would basically take the phone and do this. Try to get, not to hear your voice, and then it will manifest. That
okay,
way.
So he was doing
you start
that.
Binding it, I could bring the phone back again, speaking to you, and then it was, funny.
Okay, so it took us a while to get this this whole thing sorted out, and then I said to him, Anton, you better come and see me. And I went to the gate and I started praying, because I could hear over the phone that things were rough. Eventually, probably half an hour later, this poor man gets there to my house. By this time, the evil spirits in him were so charged up that he got out of his car, and I've never seen that before, and I don't think any of you oaks in this church could do that. He got out of his car, he had a little Golfie, and he physically broke the whole handle off the car. He broke it into pieces, and this rage was just all over him. And I just stood inside the gate, and I said, Devil, I bind you. In Jesus' name, you're not coming into my house. And then you calm down again, eh?
Yes, yeah. All right.
Now, here's the question. Why did the things come back? Because we know we cast them out the first time. Now, Anton, at that stage, if I'm correct, you and your mother-in-law had some issues, am I right?
Yes.
Okay, well, was she a typical mother-in-law or was she a difficult person?
Difficult and typical.
Oops. Okay, if there are any mother-in-laws here, I want to see you after the service, please. All right. So anyway, him and his mother-in-law, when you were on holiday together, you had a pretty serious fallout.
Yes. That was not the only time we had a fallout. Ever since I started dating my wife, she never accepted me in the family. So we always had issues around that. So it was building up and building up through the years and just kept on building up.
All right, but I think the straw that broke the camel's back was when you were on holiday with him and some stuff happened and you sort of brought a lot of bitterness and anger into your heart.
Yeah, that was that time that bitterness came in, yeah.
All right. Now, what does the Bible tell us? What happens when you cast out a devil and he manages to come back?
Seven times worse.
Well, the Bible says it'll come back seven times worse. Now, the funny thing is, in those days, I used to write down the names of the demons as I cast them out of people. And I had the list of the first deliverance session that Anton and myself had. And we cast 10 devils out of him the first time. Funny thing was, the second time around, I cast 70 out of him. Can you still remember that? And you know what? I think I actually still have that book at home with the names and all the stuff and all that they were doing. So what I want you to understand is, you don't want to allow these things back in, because they will give you a lot of drama. Okay, then, Anton, tell us just one or two of the things that happened between then, that was now about 10 years ago, and now.
There was a lot of disappointment in my life. One of the biggest disappointments I've had is there was a baby boy born, and 27 days later, he passed away. So that was really something that started closing me up, and I prevented love and to be loved. Mm. That was one of the biggest things that happened. And also then my wife also decided to divorce me. Mm. So that was another one. But to tell you, the baby was born on the 2nd of February 2002. My father-in-law committed suicide on the 9th, and I went back to work 2 months later and they retrenched me. So everything really happened in that same, in about 4 months, I really lost everything.
So a lot of things happened. I want you to just get the mental picture of what happened. This was all after we prayed. All of this stuff happened. Now, in any case, Anton started coming to the meetings again about a year ago. And he said to me, he's battling a lot and doesn't look like anything in his life wants to come right and suckle. And I said, come, let's pray. And every time I would pray with him, I would feel, because I have the power of discernment, I would feel these spirits around him, but nothing in him would ever charge up. It would be like, there's nothing. And then a couple of weeks later, he would come again and we would pray together again and nothing would happen. And at one stage, a couple of weeks ago, probably about 3 weeks ago, he was here again one night. And as I prayed with him, I felt so strongly the presence of a spirit all around him. Yet when I pray with him, nothing happens. And I prayed and I said to the Lord, Lord, speak to me. Why is this happening to this man and why can't he seem to get deliverance from whatever it is that's holding him back, whatever it is that's busy messing with him? And then the Lord spoke to me. And the Lord said to me, because of all the disappointment that he went through. Now, you can't blame the devil necessarily for the disappointment, because you know what Jesus said? Two men build a house. One is a wise man and one is a foolish man, but the storm came and hit both homes. All right? So you must understand something. Sometimes things go wrong in your life, not because the devil makes it go wrong. We all go through storms. We all go through trials. We all go through tribulation. But what the devil does do is he tries and abuses the circumstances surrounding the trials and the tribulation that we do go through. And because of all the disappointment that he suffered, because of all the frustration that he had had, because of all the failure that he had experienced, he had completely closed himself in. And he was not allowing God to get close to his heart. The Bible says, guard your heart with all diligence, for out of your heart flows the issues of life. But if you've come to a place in your life where you say, I've been hurt once too often, I've been destroyed too many times, I will not open up anymore, I will not allow anybody close to me, you can also do that to God. And that's what he had done. You see, he was afraid that he would get hurt again. And there was another thing. The Lord also said to me that he's afraid that if we pray together, there will be something like that, because it's like he just can't face that again in his life. He feels that he's been through that once too often. Am I correct in what I say?
Yes, you are.
All right. So I called him and I said to him, listen, yeah, if you want me to pray for you, I will pray for you. But you must hear what God has said to me. And you must decide what you want to do. So what did you decide after we spoke?
Okay, let us. Well, last week, Wednesday, Rian called me in. We had a good discussion with each other. And then afterwards, Rian said to me, you stay if you want to stay, so we can deal with it. And I was sitting here, and after the worship, and we had the whole meeting, I basically sat there and I opened myself up to God, and I said, I surrender. I've really given everything to God, and I just felt that I was ready to go through it. And I went to Rian afterwards, and I said, Rian, I refuse to stay in bondage anymore. I don't want to. And I'm not going to live with the devil, knowing that where I walk, I don't want him with me. That's it. I've had enough. So
what you're really saying is, you came to a point where you had the guts again to fight.
Yes. Yes.
Ah, good.
I had. Yeah, I came to a point. Look, I don't know if it was the escape route, but I worked on farms. I went to game reserves, and I went work on a game reserve in the Eastern Cape. And there's no Sundays for you. You work Monday to Monday. So a Sunday is a normal working day. So you can't go to church. You miss out on meetings. And some people think it's not necessarily going to church. But it is. You learn a lot from going to church. And then going away from the game reserves, I came back again. And that's where I got the guts again to say, you know, I'm going to stand up against this now, and I've had enough.
Amen. What does the Bible say? When will the devil flee from you? Resist the devil and he will flee from you. Yes, you are right. Submit yourself, therefore, unto the mighty hand of God. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. You see, I want you to listen, because there's a reason I'm asking him to share what is very personal to him with you guys. Because how many of you are sitting here and you've been through a lot of disappointments?
You've been hurt. People have walked over you. People have stabbed you in the back. And you know what? You've come to a place where you just don't want to fight anymore. You've sort of given up on life and you've given up on yourself. And yes, you do come forward for prayer, but you know, God needs you to do more than just come forward for prayer. He needs you to say, I'm also willing to fight for myself. Because you see, the funny thing is, God's not going to fight for you if you don't even want to fight for yourself. And so, Anton, you came here and you surrendered yourself to God and you said, I'm willing to put my foot down. And then we prayed. And what happened?
The people that stayed behind will tell you.
Well, the first time we started praying for him, I checked one or two people eyeing the door. No, they think, I must go home now. Yeah.
I know. I said to Rian, because I know I've been through deliverance, the first thing I asked, please don't let them manifest. That's the one thing I ask, because I know what was my manifestations like. And they still manifest. So,
all right, I want to say something on that. I want you all to listen, because what he's saying there is the problem with a lot of people that we pray for here after the services. People come forward, and they've got their list of things that they will allow and things they will not allow. Things that can happen and things that can't happen. If you come to God with a list, nothing will happen.
Amen.
Because you insist on being in control. Yes. When you come to God and you say, your will be done, your kingdom come, that's when the power of God is allowed to work in you, through you, and heal you. Amen. And you see, this is a problem that we often find with people. A lot of the people that we pray for after the meetings have got serious issues and stuff that need to be sorted out. But a lot of them have also come here and said, Lord, I won't shake, I won't rattle, I won't roll, I won't scream, and I won't fall down. And then the Lord says, man, I'm sorry. I can't help you on your terms, but I can help you on my terms.
Amen.
And you know what? Some people fall down. Some people scream. Some people manifest. Some people vomit. Some people, what? So what? It's not about the 10 or 20 seconds that you're going through that. It's about all the freedom that you experience afterwards.
Yes, it's worth it.
You see, the thing is, you can't tell God how to heal you. You know, in the Old Testament, there was a man by the name of Naaman. He had leprosy. And he came to God to be healed. I'm going to be with you now. Don't go sit down. He came to God to be healed. And the way that he came to God was through Elisha the prophet. It was Elisha, right? Was through Elisha the prophet. And he had an expectation. His expectation was that the prophet would stand there, he would stretch out his hand, he would say something powerful, and there would be an explosion and his leprosy would just be gone. That was his preconceived idea of how God would heal him. And you know what happened? When he got to Elisha's house, Elisha didn't even take the time to go outside the house. Elisha called his servant Gehazi. And he said to him, there's a man outside there that wants to be healed. Go and tell him to jump in the river Jordan, 7 times. And after the 7th time, he will be healed.
Yes.
Now, Naaman was a general. And he wasn't used to people treating him that way. He was used to having the red carpet rolled out wherever he went. He was used to people falling all over themselves, can't wait to just do something good for him. And yet he was treated with what he perceived to be contempt by a man of God. And he said to his servants, pack your stuff, we're going home. I don't need this rubbish in my life. Wow. And you know what his servant said? His servant said to him, Master, please listen to me. If this man had said to you, give R1 million and you will be healed, you would have probably done it. I would have. If this man had said to you, you must do this and do that, you know, something big, you would have probably done it. He says, well, he's told you to do something relatively simple. Go into the water 7 times and you will be healed. What have you got to lose? And Naaman thought about it and he said, okay, I'll give it a bash. And when he left the river the 7th time, he was healed completely. But you see, Naaman also wanted to come to God, and he had an expectation of how God should work in his life. And you know what? God didn't work the way he expected to. God didn't work the way he wanted to. And if he still insisted on having it his way, he would never have been healed.
Now, these stories are in the Bible to teach us some very basic truths about the Christian life. You come to God and you submit and surrender your life and your will to Him. And you allow Him to minister to you in whatever way He knows will work for you. And you know what? Another thing. You can't look at somebody else when we pray for them and say, well, maybe that's going to happen to me, because you know what? Maybe you're wrong. You just don't know. But your attitude should just be, Lord, whatever I need, in however way I need it, please heal me. Please deliver me. Please minister to me. So, Anton, how was your week after we prayed?
Very good. Especially when you go to work. What's so amazing was, when I went back to work, my boss looked at me and she said to me, what happened to you?
Amen!
And she's not Christian. And I said to her, now I'm free. That's all I could tell her. That was so amazing. And especially, you know, I didn't tell you, the following day, I'm working out in Roslyn. And it's a big property, so I've got space there. I can talk to God. And sitting there, I could still feel there was things, you know, here at the back of my neck.
Mm.
I could still feel things in it. And I know it sounds strange to you that people will tell you they can feel things and there's, you know, somebody stab you in the back and there's a pull the knife out, and it looks strange that people are doing it, but believe me, it's real. You can feel it. I could feel the things, and I started pulling these things out, and I was walking on the clouds. I want to stay there. So what I did is I really started a year ago, I think it's nearly 2 years ago, you preached on that sermon by saying that that coughing, that's what I'm doing during the day. And I've never ever stopped. But I think I basically stopped God to minister with me by closing myself up. But sitting here that night, last week, Wednesday, I took my pride away and I said, whatever's going to happen must happen.
Amen.
If I'm going to manifest now, and I did ask not to, I did. It didn't happen. I manifest, but just it's great. Just to be free.
Yeah, bless God. Okay, now, what can we learn from his experience? Because remember, what did we say earlier? Why do we share testimonies? So that other people can hear that there's hope for them too. You see, if God is willing to do it for him, God is willing to do it for you. If God has had mercy on him, God will have mercy on you. If he had to deal with pride, you'll have to deal with pride. One of the things that God cannot handle, one of the things that is an instant barrier between you and God, is pride. And you know what? A lot of people are stressed with the way that we minister at these meetings. Why must I go forward if there are still people in the church? Why must I be prayed for in front of people? Let me just ask you once again, how did Jesus pray for people? Did he pray for people in the loft room? Did he pray for people in the basement? Or did he pray for people in the crowds? Why? Because there's no place for pride in the crowd. You see, a lot of people want to be prayed for individually, simply because they are too proud to admit to anybody else that they've got an issue or they've got a problem. And let me tell you something, if you come to God on that basis, you will not get help. I'm sorry. I've been in this ministry now for almost 15 years, and I've learned a thing or two. The more pride you have, the less happens. Now, Anton, you shared with me something interesting. You said that you've been feeling something. What did you feel last week? Tell them. About the feet.
Yes, sorry. I said to Rian, especially this weekend, the one day I was, over the weekend I was just lying on the couch, and I've got this, something possessed me, and I could feel and see that my feet, my ankles are shackled.
You could actually see the
shackles. I could see it, yes. And I can hear the Lord tells me, take it and cut it off. But, you know, you try to, and I can see I try to, I'm out of my own, I try to cut it off. Hmm. And coming in here tonight, I know we're going to get rid of it. Because I know shackles, you can't really walk, and that is part of the, you know, proclaiming the kingdom of God.
All right, I want to ask you a question. Can you still remember what the spirits were that we cast out last week?
destruction, finances,
financial curse,
and spirits, hurt, yeah, and then there was the false spirits.
Oh yeah, false, lies,
yeah.
All right. Now, listen carefully. We cast the following spirits out of him. How do we know we cast them out? Because they actually spoke as they left. They gave their names before they left. Financial curse. Why would Satan want to curse you financially? Come on. Why would he want to curse you financially?
No freedom. No.
Well, you know what? The devil has learned something about mankind that is quite profound. The average person's happiness is connected to their bank account. If there is no finances in the bank account, my problems are insurmountable. I can't survive. I don't know how I'm going to cope. I fall apart. I yell at the kids. I kick the dog. And my wife suffers. Hello? And you know what? Ultimately, we blame God for all this rubbish. What is God's heart for you and I? Jeremiah 29 verse 11. I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord. Plans to prosper you, not to harm you, to give you a hope and to give you a future. What does God want for this young man? Does God want him to prosper or does God want him to suffer? God wants him to prosper. Eddie, come and help us here quickly, please. Some of you are new here and you don't know this. I'm just going to borrow this, okay?
It's off.
Okay, I'm proud of you. She says it's off. Okay. Now, you can all see this. This is a cell phone, right? Let's say this represents prosperity. This represents financial freedom, breakthrough. Who of you would like to have it? If you don't raise your hands right now, you're stupid. You must wave two at me. That's it. Good, good. Now, Jeremiah chapter 29 verse 11 says, "For I know the plans I have for you, says the Lord, plans to prosper you." Now, you can look at that word any way you want. It means prosperity. Not to harm you, to give you a hope, to give you a future. Now the devil, whatever God wants, the devil obviously wants the opposite, doesn't he? So Satan doesn't want you to be prosperous. Now, let me tell you something interesting. Even while that financial curse, the demon said, "My name is financial curse," and he can testify to you how much financial problems he's had in his life. But even while that spirit was with him, I put it to you that he was still blessed and he was still prosperous. How can I say that? Because the Word of God says, God gives sunshine to the good and the bad. God gives rain to the righteous and the unrighteous. So God doesn't look at who you are and what you do before he decides to prosper you. You are his child. He loves you. He will prosper you.
Amen.
But let me show you how this stuff works. Before that spirit was cast out of him, come stand here in the middle. Before that spirit was cast out of him, this is what happened. Now, just take away your hands. Look, this is prosperity. Take it. Make it your own. Good. Now give it to me. Now curse him. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. Take it. We can carry on like that for the rest of the night. He'll never get it. Not because it's not available to him. Not because it's outside of his reach. Not because God hasn't given it to him. Simply because there's a problem with him and he can't grasp it and he can't make it his own. A curse is not the absence of God's blessing. It is your inability to take what is legally yours. Amen? And that's why it needed to be dealt with. Because, you know what? Every demon is a thief. What does a thief do? Has anybody ever stolen anything from you?
Yes.
What did they steal from you?
How much time do you have?
How much time do I have? Sounds like we must pray for you after the service. Okay, one of the things that they stole from you. Listen, yeah, we're living in the new South Africa. If I ask anybody that question, they'll give me that answer. I'm sorry. Okay.
Oh, wallets, car, money.
Car. How did you feel when they stole your car?
I was upset, but I went and played touch rugby.
You were upset, but you went and played touch rugby. You've got a strange way of coping, my friend. But if it works for you, that's fine. Okay. How did you feel when they stole the car?
Very upset.
Upset, frustrated, irritated, charged up, negative. Huh? We can go on and on and on and on. What does the thief ultimately want to accomplish by doing things like this? Well, you know what? If you are feeling, Anton, if you are feeling upset, negative, despondent, hopeless, dejected, do you feel like praying?
Not at all, no.
Do you feel like worshiping God?
No.
All right, now, if you live with a thief every day of your life, can you understand why you don't want to pray? Can you understand why you don't want to worship God? Why you don't want to go to church? So God wants to help you get rid of the thief. Before I steal your phone. All right. Now, the Lord showed him in a practical way that his feet are bound. What would that represent? What is Satan trying to stop by binding his feet? He's already mentioned the one thing. The Bible says that our feet are the instruments that bring the gospel of Christ to the nations. But what else does feet do? Feet takes you forward. Feet takes you from where you are now to where you want to be. Who of you has somewhere that you would like to be in the next 5 years? Just wave at me. Now spiritually, your spirit is going to have to walk or run to get there. But what if Satan has bound your feet and shackled your feet? Will your spirit be able to take you to where God wants to have you? You see, your destiny lies in the future. Your destiny is not in the past. It is forward. And if my feet are bound, I can't go forward. I will never forget, many years ago, I prayed for a woman. She had had an abortion. And after that abortion, she had serious problems because she opened herself up to a whole bunch of devils. She was 20 years old when she had the abortion. She was 64 when I prayed for her. She had completely lost it. She was cuckoos. And in the next week, they were going to put her into an asylum. I went there with her pastor to pray for her. When I entered their room, this woman came walking out of the bathroom. Now, some of you at the back might have to stand to just see what I'm trying to display here. But when she came walking out of the bathroom, she was all huddled up like this. And she was walking like this. She would give like 2 or 3 centimeter shuffles at a time. And I asked her, why are you walking like that? And she said to me, can't you see the chains around my feet? Obviously, I couldn't see them. But she could. And you know what the shackle in her life was? She had to forgive herself for taking a life. And let me just say this, if there is a young lady sitting here, and you are going to at some point in time be confronted with a choice whether you have to keep life or abort life, understand something, Satan never forgets. And he will remind you every single day of what you have done. And when you are young, you can cope with it because you're busy. You're going out, you're jolling, you've got friends. But the older you get, the more he continues. And you know what? If somebody chee-chee-chees in your ear for long enough, you will lose it too. And that's how this stuff works. You can't get away from what you've done. Choose life. Even if you've made a mistake, choose life. God will honor you for that. And so when we prayed for her and we cast that spirit out of her, you know, the instant thing that happened, she took the first normal size step she had taken in months because she was free. Now, Mark, come forward. Rudy, come forward. Eddie, come forward. Pros, come forward. I'm putting him on a bigger spot now because I never checked with him whether we could do this, but I want you to stand here. I say to you that the Lord has said, by the word of our testimony, we will destroy Satan. Amen. We will be given the power to overcome. Why did the Lord allow him to see the shackles? Why did the Lord allow him to see the shackles? So that he could know that that is the next area that needs to be dealt with in his life. Does the Lord show us things just because he's got nothing better to do? No. A vision from God is precious. In fact, in the Old Testament, the prophet was told, take the vision that you have seen and write it down immediately and make it plain so that you can go back to it and understand it. So now I'm going to do something that's going to be very weird for some of you. But we're going to set him free.
Amen.
Why? Because Jesus came to set the captive free.
Amen.
Jesus came to heal the brokenhearted. There is some stupid thief that thinks he can get away with stealing from this man for the rest of his life. What does the Word of God say about that? No. Whosoever calls upon the name of the Lord will be delivered. Will be saved. Do we have the anointing? Do we have the power to set him free? Yes. In myself, I can do nothing for him. But Jesus in me, the Holy Spirit through me, can set him free.
Amen.
Now, a very important question. Do you want to be free? Why am I asking him that? People don't understand that. But God has given us choice. You see, before when I prayed for him, he wanted to get rid of the symptoms, but he didn't want to deal with the problem. In other words, he didn't want it. Tonight he wants it. Just as you and I should want it. Jesus walked into the place called the Bath of Bethesda. There was a couple of thousand people lying there, some crippled, some sick, some lame, some blind, some deaf. You name it. All the problems we have today, they had back then. And there was this pool where if you walked into the pool, after the angel of God came and stirred it, you would instantly be healed of whatever the problem was. Now, we are in Alberton tonight. Let's just say for argument's sake that tonight in Alberton there was a swimming pool, and once a week an angel came down and stirred the water, and if you fell in the water first, you were healed. How many people were sitting around the pool? Come on, how many people would be sitting around that pool tonight? Well, if there is 100,000 people in Alberton, at least 50,000 need to be healed of something. It would have to be a bloody big house. So Jesus walks into a place like that. And there's this pool, and the angel would come and stir it, but today is not the angel's day. So there's a lot of people waiting for tomorrow, because tomorrow the water would stir. And with all those thousands of people lying all over the place, crying out to God, please have mercy on me, please help me. He avoids all of them, and he walks up to one man. He walks up to that man and he says, do you want to be healed?
Yes.
Some people think that's the weirdest question you could ask a cripple. But that's the first thing God will ask you. Do you want to save your marriage? Because a lot of people have given up. Do you want to save your relationships? Do you want to actually get a job? You know, there's a lot of people that don't have a job, but they don't really want one. You've got to want one before God's going to move. And yeah, they'll come and say, pray for me, because the wife expects them to say that. You understand? Do you want to stop drinking? Yeah, well, you know what? He asks that question because his wife threatened him, I'm going to leave you. But that doesn't mean he wants to stop drinking. Do you want to give up cigarettes? Do you want to give up cocaine? You see, God is going to ask all of us the same question before he will minister to us. And you know, you can answer him from your head and say, yeah, you know what, it makes sense to stop smoking because I'm going to save about 1,000 rand a month, and I suppose my lungs will be all happy when I, yeah, I want to stop. But in your heart you're thinking, man, I can't wait to get out of here because I need a drag now. Yeah. I can pray for you till I'm blue in the face. Anybody can pray for you. Nothing's going to happen. Do you want to be saved? Do you want to be healed? Now, we're going to pray for him. And if you've never seen this before, then, well, bless God, tonight will be the first time you'll see it. But the Lord will deliver him.
Amen.
And you know what? You can all bless God with him. Because he walked in here chained, and God's going to send him home free.
Amen.
How do I know that? Because the Word gives me a promise. I have come to set the captive free. Raise your hands to God. You oaks, stretch out your hands and pray with me. Anton, just do this with me. Father God.
Father God.
In Jesus' name.
In Jesus' name.
I submit my will.
I submit my will.
My mind.
My mind.
And my emotions to you.
My emotions to you.
And I'm trusting you.
I trust in you.
Holy Spirit.
Holy Spirit.
You have access.
You have access.
To my body.
To my body.
My soul and spirit.
My soul and my spirit.
And especially my heart.
And especially my heart.
I want to be free.
I want to be free.
Please set me free.
Please set me free.
Amen. All of you, stretch out your hands towards him. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, I take authority over the demon that has cursed him by binding his feet. You are going to come out of him now. I command you to release him. Come off of his feet. In Jesus' name, loose his feet. I feel an enormous amount of fear as I am praying with you. Do you battle with fear? You do. The demon's name is fear. You spirit of fear, in the name of Jesus, I command you to release this man now. Loose him. Come out. Loose him. Come out of him. Your name is fear. Come out. Release him. Come out. That's it. Come out. Fear. Go. Go. Out. Out. The fire of God is upon you. Out. 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 Let go. Let go. Let go. Let go. In the name of Jesus, be gone. In the name of Jesus, be gone. Release him. Release him. Release him. Put your foot on him. Again. Again. Walk down there for me. All right. Talk to me. How do they feel? Jump. Nee man, wat 'n kok hy jump. Jump. All right. Now, these people don't know what happened when we started praying. Don't worry, you can use my mic. Tell them.
I felt the warmth. Always I could feel that warmth going through me. And always that shaking. And then I can feel something is breaking loose inside of me. And that start coming up. I can feel it. That's really coming up. And when you were taking my feet and you were pulling it off, I could feel how you, I can basically feel how you take the shackles off. I can feel it.
Loose.
Yes, they do. They do. Amen. I'm not going to say it does. I do really mean it.
Bless God.
Amen.
Guys, we can all learn a lot from listening to somebody else's testimony. You know, none of us are perfect. None of us have arrived. All of us are probably going to be making some mistakes before we get to the place where we are where God wants us to be. But you know, if you hear the mistakes He's made and you just choose to learn something from that, you don't have to make the same mistakes He's made or I have made or anybody has made. I want you to just hear my heart here. When Jesus walked this earth, He came for a specific reason. He came to establish the kingdom of God in our midst. A wonderful supernatural place where the things the mind says is impossible is entirely possible. A wonderful place where the sickness that the doctors say cannot be cured can be cured instantly. Where emotional trauma that some oak says you must have pills and you must have hypnosis and you must do this and you must do that. None of that stuff is necessary. The question is, are we willing to humble ourselves to the place where we can come to Jesus and say, I also need that. I also want you to touch my life and heal me. And I have some very good news for you. God is not a respecter of man. That simply means that God doesn't look at her life and say, oh, you know what, she tithes regularly and she reads her Bible and she's a good person. Yes, what have I got to lose? I'll do something for her. And then He looks at her and He says, no, never go to church. Always slandering people behind their back. She's jealous of everybody. She gives everybody a hard time. No. Don't worry. We all know that she's not really like that. But God doesn't look at individuals that way. And a next nice trick of the devil. You better not go forward for prayer. Look at your background. Look at the stuff you've done. What makes you think God will do anything for you? You've slept with so many men or women. You've messed around with the occult. You've done this, you've done that, wara. You're not good enough. You're going to go and stand there and make a fool of yourself because God won't listen. Does that fit in with what the Word of God tells us about God?
No.
Let me remind you once again of what John 3:16 says. For God so loved the world that He gave His one and only Son, that whosoever believes in Him will not perish. It doesn't say whosoever tithes a lot, whosoever lived a godly life. Listen to me, until you meet Jesus, you cannot live a godly life because you don't have it in you. And do you think for one second that God is in a total state of shock that you, the biggest sinner in the world, has come and asked Him for help? He knows that you can't do it without Him. Without Him, you don't have the power to live a clean life. Without Him, you don't have the power to put the cigarettes down. Without Him, you don't have the power to put the alcohol down. Without Him, you don't have the power to confront your inadequacies and overcome your low self-esteem. There are two people sitting here tonight. In all of us. The one that has not really yet understood what God can do for him, and the one that has. You bring me your problem. You bring me your issue, your thing that is so big that tells you, you can't live with this. You can't deal with this. You can't cope with it. And I'll show you that the Word of God says that He will pick you up out of the ashes. And He will put you on a firm foundation.
Amen.
And you will not be shaken.
Thank you, Lord.
He will change your circumstances. But it is for you and I to begin to understand these things about God. And let me say this, the kingdom of God is not for wimps. It took guts for that man to come and stand in front of all of you.
Yes.
It takes guts for every person that comes on a Wednesday night for prayer. But in that is victory. Because already you are confronting some of your demons. And it's only by confronting them that you can have victory over them. God is good. All the time.
Amen.
Bless God. Now, it's taken quite a while for us to share what happened to him. Maybe I just want to mention one more thing. I remember the one demon that we cast out of him said his name was Hurt. And when I told him to leave, he said, I can't because he's too broken inside. Which was obviously a lie. But you know what the demon was really just saying is, it has attached itself to all the areas of hurt that is inside of him. Maybe you don't realize this, but when somebody, he was divorced, his wife walked out on him. That is like taking a knife and stabbing somebody in the heart. Why? Because they had a very strong emotional, spiritual connection. And she stabbed him and turned her back and left. And you know, the funny thing is, if you step on a thorn, you know, these big kameel doorings, you know, we live in Africa, we got that stuff. I mean, that thing will bring down a donkey. It'll bring down an elephant. Now imagine if you go and step in that thing. I mean, it's just, it's all over for you. You're going to go down very, very quickly. And how many of you know it's going to be painful? But the wound will heal, won't it? The nice thing about the human body is, God's given it the ability to heal itself. It happens spontaneously. But that doesn't always happen in the heart. It is often those wounds that we get there where when your father didn't give you love when you were younger. When he never came to your sports days. And even if you did your best at rugby, he said to you, man, you play like a palooka. It is those things that is like taking one of those big thorns and sticking it in your heart. And you know what the devil does? Even when somebody comes and pulls the thorn out, he will instantly put his finger in the hole. So every now and then when it looks like you are getting some breakthrough in your life, it looks like you're going to pick yourself up out of the ashes, you are trying to fix your life, he just does this. He irritates that wound all over again. He messes with it. Because he knows that thorn will bring you down. which is why Jesus said, I have come to heal the brokenhearted. You can go for hypnosis, you're just going to bring a lot more devils into you. You can drink those palikis, it's just going to inhibit your ability to interact with people because you're going to be drowsy and cranky and irritated all the time. Or you can come to the doctor and let him put his hand on that wound. And you can ask him to heal there. Because you see, the funny thing is, that little palliki can't go to the root of the problem. But the finger of God, the Holy Spirit, can.
Amen.
So the funny thing is, he can go right through you and touch where it's hurting. And if he heals it, it goes away. If he doesn't heal it, it'll surface again and again and again. And you know what? A lot of people have tried this. We try to run away from our problems. You can't run away from the devil. He'll find you. Your problems will be waiting for you on the other side. Because you know why? Most of your problems come from within you. Guard your heart with all diligence, for out of it, out of it flows the issues of life. He had a lot of hurt. But it was his hurt. And you know what? As long as that hurt was not dealt with, that hurt was available so that when the next relationship starts up, it'll pop out and there will be hurt again. You see the cycle. And only when God pulls out that thorn, pulls out that dagger, and heals it. If I play rugby and I tear the ligaments in my knee, but I choose to go and play again, will I be successful?
No.
Sorry? I'll lose my knee. Have you tried that?
Plenty times.
All right, learn something from his mistake now. You got to get it healed before you go into it again. There's probably a lot of people sitting here tonight, you've had some relationships that were not good. And relationships is something that Satan loves. Because, you know what? When we commit ourselves to somebody, we give everything. If that person then turns around and stabs you in the heart and runs away, man, that's the deepest hurt you can have sometimes. And then you go and you try another relationship, but it ends up the same as the last one. Why? Because the hurt is still all there. The only thing that can come out of that relationship is more hurt and more hurt. Why? Because your heart is full of hurt. And even if the poor guy doesn't say something and mean it to be bad, you're going to take it as being bad because there's hurt in your heart. So it can't be blessed. It can't be lasting. And it has to be taken out. If Jesus was here tonight, here's what he would do. He would preach a sermon. I don't know what he would be speaking on, but it would be interesting. It would be truth and it would be relevant. And then he would say, right, all the sick come to me. The brokenhearted come to me. The burdened and the heavy laden come to me. I will heal you. I will give you rest. And I will deliver you. And the funny thing is, he's here tonight. And I'm not talking about me praying for you or any other person praying for you. I'm just saying to you that God is in our midst tonight. Why? Because we've worshipped Him. And when we draw closer to Him, He draws closer to us. Worship brings us into the throne room of God. And when two or more get together in the name of Jesus Christ, God is in our midst. So I'm going to end off tonight's meeting by giving you an invitation. You can have your coffee and go home. That's fine. You can just go home. That's fine. Or you can trust God. And say to the Lord, Lord, tonight I want to come before you, and no longer am I going to tell you what to do. No longer am I going to tell you this is acceptable and that. And Lord, tonight I'm willing to trust you. You see, sometimes when we've been hurt many times, we forget how to trust and we can't even trust God. But you're going to have to dig deep and trust Him. Because with some of the problems we faced with, He's the only answer. And He will help you. Let us pray. our dear Lord and Heavenly Father. Father, I remind you of what Jesus did for us on the cross. We have just come through the Easter season where we have remembered that our Savior died and gave His life for us. And then He rose again after He had conquered every demon, every devil, wrestled the keys from Satan himself and set the captive free. On the cross He was bruised and battered, beaten up, because in His body He had to pay the price for the sinfulness and the evil and the sickness that has come upon our bodies. He became a curse on the cross, that we no longer have to be cursed or live a cursed life, but that we have the right to be set free. Lord, those are not just words. That is truth. May that truth manifest tonight. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen.